Hello everyone, welcome to yet another episode of the Smashy Business Show, and we have a lot of smashy news. I just realized smashy means excellent, somewhat, that's the meaning. So yeah, we have a lot of excellent news, especially for startups. But first of all, let's start with the date today. It's 18th of October 2024, and Jitex is happening. Today is the last day of Jitex. Mm-hmm. Finally, the Dubai residents will be happy that the traffic will die down a little, and starting Saturday, Sunday, and then onwards. Yes. But we'll have a lot of more events, so keep up with the traffic,
stay
I
tuned.
Guess.
Stay tuned with RTA and the traffic, of
yeah,
course.
But yes. Again, RTA is doing a good job. We always mention it because they are doing a good job of managing everything, not even the car traffic, the foot traffic as well, because there's like hundreds and thousands of people going to Jitex. Today is the last day, so everyone will mm-hmm. try to get a piece of it if they couldn't go throughout the weekend. Expand North Star ended on Wednesday. That was one part of the Jitex, which was done by Dubai World Trade Center and Dubai Chambers. It's basically, Jitex is a private event, and the Dubai government then made their own event under the banner of Jitex, and that's called Expand North Star. That finished on Wednesday, and the most interesting thing that I could find
yes,
throughout the press release.
You told me about it.
Yeah. Apart from all the announcements, 1,800 startups, 70,000, all these things, there was this one thing that Farah will tell you.
I think, you know what? I will be saying it, but then you should say it again because yeah. I think you're better at explaining. You told me that a quote was said that the media is changing
yeah.
and that we should know Spanish,
Chinese,
Arabic, and also coding.
Yeah. So Sir Martin Sorrell, basically, he is the founder, chairman, head of S4 Capital. S4 Capital is a very big media giant. They run Monks in the UAE. Monks handles some of the biggest names in the industry. Their advertising, their content, everything. Sir Martin Sorrell's words, like after like 30, 40 years of media experience, he is finally saying that media planning and buying will change. People, nearly 250,000 people will lose their jobs. Because the system that is now right now in place has a lot of inefficiencies, and it also has a lot of things which are wrong, like misinformation, disinformation, wrong information. So yeah, this is happening, coming directly from Sir Martin Sorrell. And again, as far as I learned three languages.
This is, by the way, like, I didn't want to know that we're going to be losing our jobs, because like, you know, like initially when AI, Richard knows this, I fear AI because I have this fear of like they're going to take our jobs.
No, AI, I don't think AI will take our jobs. I always have this belief that AI is a good thing. AI is better for our world. Why? Because AI will help us do the menial tasks, the basic useless tasks.
Yes, but here you said that 250,000 jobs will be disappearing in 2 years. Yeah. What are the jobs that are going to be disappearing?
It's mainly from the media, because we've seen that usually you needed like a whole crew to shoot a video. Now AI can do like nearly 70-80% of the work. You just need like 10 or 20% of the work. So those people will lose the jobs. So either those people upskill themselves, get better at using AI tools, or be more creative, bring some creativity, some form of creativity, which mm-hmm. AI is still not capable of. So yeah. I think it is actually, I always say that I used to do calculations in my mind, but yeah. then as I started using calculator on my phone, I lost that yeah. ability to do mental calculations. Likewise, with all the things happening, people lost their ability. Out of like, if there is a task which has 100%, 90% of the work was useless, like typing and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. ChatGPT made it easier. Yeah, so now you can utilize that time to be more creative.
So it's
good for humans.
So will you be learning Spanish and Chinese?
Spanish, to be honest, I know a little bit of. I can have a basic conversation. Arabic, Quran helps you. We've read the Quran.
Yeah.
And apart from that, now since I've spent 2 years in this region, I've learned basic of it. So, my producer is saying, tell for amlay. What does that mean?
What?
Amlay.
Amlay?
Amlay.
That means, yeah.
Kaifa halak?
Amlay, no. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Kaifa halak? That's the easier version. I don't know why he wants us to say the Egyptian
version. No, this is an Egyptian
dialect. Oh, okay.
But in my dialect, you go like, kifek or kifak.
Oh, so you have different dialects that I knew about.
Yeah.
I just wanted to read something. There is an event happening, Atsar Festival in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to tell you, give a shout out to the event. It's happening from 5th to 6th November 2024 in Crown Plaza, RDC, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. The event is... the festival hosts a number of initiatives beyond the content on stage. There's Young Talent Academies for emerging talents, the Mehida program for female executives, C-suite roundtables. All of these delve into the pressing challenges of the industry and its future growth. You can buy the pass, go to their website. It's A-T-H-A-R, Athar. I think it's called Athar.
Athar?
If I was reading it in Urdu, I'll call it Asr.
Can I see?
Yeah, Asr. It's Sir, right?
Oh, wait.
So
wait,
it's
no.
Aleph,
Asr.
Sir, Asr.
Asr.
Yeah, she can pronounce it better,
Asr.
Obviously. Yeah, so Asr Festival is happening in Saudi Arabia. A lot of big names are coming there. So Martin Sorrell, especially the guy we just mentioned, he's also coming there to speak. Throughout my involvement in Asr, he's been involved with the event for a long time now. Saudi's own Festival of Creativity. I look forward to joining all the participants to celebrate the stories and campaigns coming out of a region with diverse cultures and dynamic growth. There's a lot of reasons on the websites why you should attend if you're a media professional, if you're a creative person, if you're just a visitor. All of these, they have reasons. If you're a student, you can go. You can learn about the latest trends and innovations, supplementing your academic knowledge, practical insights you'll get there. Attendees include directors, creatives, media and communications agencies, CMOs, chief marketing officers, head of brand, production, CCOs, tech platform, media, government, startups, universities, advertisers, brand, PR, account managers, CIOs, CTOs, young talent agencies and publishers. This is the whole list. I just read it in one breath. All of this is happening in Saudi Arabia, 5 to 6 November. On 6 November, they also have other awards. So they award a lot of individuals, mm-hmm. companies, on the basis of their creative campaigns, creative marketing campaigns, or the content. So that you can check out. The nominations have closed, unluckily. But the shortlist is now there. You can see who has been shortlisted. And then there is Young Talent Academies, which happens from 3 to 6 November. 3, 4, 5, 6, 4 days. So the main event is 5 to 6, 3 to 6 is Young Talent Academies, and 6 November, there's Asr Awards. So this is about the Asr event that is happening in Saudi Arabia. Do check it out. Do go to their website, asrfestival.com. Apart from that, let's move on to the main stories. Mm-hmm. Main stories are a lot about startups today. Yesterday, it was more about the AI version of whatever was happening in the world. Today, it's startups. The very first story that we have is about Saudi Venture Capital. It's a company which comes under the SME Bank of Saudi Arabia. They've invested $15 million in the Sucker Fund. Now, Sucker Fund, in very short words, is a fund which has a target of getting $90 million in their fund. And then they'll use those to give money, obviously give capital help to startups in Saudi Arabia. So this is a very good venture coming. This is a very good like move coming from Saudi Venture Capital. The fund aims to raise $90 million, as I said, and they're mostly focusing on the early stage startup, mm-hmm. which are in the idea phase or which are trying to develop a product or service. So they're mostly investing in that. They're not going towards the main big players like Tabby or Tamara in Saudi Arabia. So investment will focus on Saudi Arabia and the wider MENA region with a sector agnostic approach. The sectors that they're focusing on is mostly fintech mm-hmm. and health sector.
Well, of course, now, why is this investment important? Of course, we do see a lot of investments are going to be happening. Now, first of all, I want to start with a point that we have talked about yesterday, before yesterday, and
every day,
before yesterday, and every single day, which is because like, it aligns with its vision for 2030.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like, by backing the Sucker Fund 2, the CVC is contributing to Saudi Arabia's vision 2030. Of course, because like with such big investments, they do nothing but only foster innovation and entrepreneurship across the kingdom. And as well, as I said, it supports the startup ecosystem. And in light of that, it will be improving the economy. And all of them, it's like a spider web combined together to for the vision of 2030, and as well because like This venture will be tracking records. It will demonstrate success in identifying and nurturing high potential startups, which enhances investor confidence in their ability to, of course, generate returns.
We have our newsletter as well. We've talked about it, the whole thing in detail as well. You can subscribe to our newsletter. Go to any socials. You'll find a link there. You can subscribe to it. There are some facts I would like to tell you about the Saudi startup environment in 2024, like 9 months of 2024 that have been passed. The first half of 2024 saw $412 million invested in Saudi startups through venture funding. The kingdom is the leader in the MENA region in funding right now as of 2024, 9 months. So nearly 54% of the funding that came into the MENA region came into Saudi startups. Big number. UAE follows it. There's like 38% of the remaining funding came to the UAE and then Egypt and all the other places. So a major contributor to this number, 412 million, was the 130 million mega deal for Salah. That was the only mega round. Mega rounds are usually 100 million plus. So that was the only mega round seen in the MENA region this year. So that's a good sign for Saudi startups. And Saudi deal flow remains stable, representing 30% of the region's total deal. So in H1 and last year, the H1, they had 25% of the whole share. So this is a growth of 5% for the Saudi startup flow deal. So these are some numbers just to tell you how big the Saudi startup ecosystem is becoming and is still going onwards. It's not like it's stopping. We saw some slow growth in July and August because, again, dry season, nothing is happening. But now it's picking up pace. And by the end of the year, I think it will touch nearly the $1 billion mark in venture funding in only Saudi capital, Saudi startups. So yeah, UAE, second number, again, healthy competition going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think competition between, competition is always healthy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And between them is very healthy.
It's very healthy between Saudi Arabia and the UAE because like they both are neighboring countries and they both are in good relations politically and as well economically and strategically. So I think honestly, like I'm just like excited to see, like since there's like this competition happening in Saudi Arabia, ventured out of, you know, like from like nothing to really having like all of those like bloom of businesses and economy and tourism and the list goes on and on. And then to have it compete with UAE just makes me really excited to see like what's going to be happening next or how will the UAE respond to that because it's a competition and when there's a competition, it does not end.
No, so UAE itself has a lot of big startup funding systems. There's companies here. Again, talking about startups, there's a Pakistani startup, Abhi. Abhi means right now. It's a fintech startup. They recently got funding from two UAE-based venture capitalist firms, Shuruk Partners, and the other one, I forgot the name, Uplift something. But they got them from two UAE-based startups. So that Pakistani startup is now expanding in the UAE. So that's a good sign. Again, that UAE is looking not inside only, it's looking outside. If it sees anything that is being done in any other country, they want it to come to their area as well. And obviously, it makes their ecosystem better. 100%. So that is one investment that happened. Apart from that, let's talk about Rabbit first, and then we'll go to Chris Fade. Because in the order, we have Chris Fade. But let's talk about, since we're talking about startups, it's a nice segue. So Rabbit Mobility is an Egyptian startup. So we've talked about UAE, we've talked about Saudi. An Egyptian startup raised $1.3 million to power expansion across Egypt. They're trying to expand in their country, and they're also targeting North Africa region. So it's a micro-mobility startup. It's not a normal, it's not like a new idea. We've seen a lot of micro-mobility startups in the UAE as well. Again, go to the newsletter. It has the competitors, and we'll also talk about it on the show. But it's Egypt. Based micro-mobility startups, e-scooters, think e-scooters, Rabbit Mobility. This round was, the funding round was led by 500 Global and Untapped Global. I remember both of them are American companies. So they've invested in an Egyptian startup. That's again a good sign. So it was founded in 2020, provides electric scooters and bikes for urban transportation. So you can basically rent them, ride them, and just put them in a place and then 100%. Pay the money and go away.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, as well, the company promotes sustainable transportation, which is very important. Like, right now, a lot of countries are focusing on sustainability and the environment, and that's like a very important key factor, because they, as well, they want to aim to reduce the traffic congestion in urban areas. At some point, when there's a lot of traffic, you go like in your head, like, oh my god, I wish I had a scooter, or I wish I rode a motorcycle, and just like, you know, that just like what, like, would avoid all of the traffic. And they have as well like witnessed a rapid growth of 450,000 users completing over 1 million rides. That reflects strong demand for green mobility, like right now with this generation. And ever since, by the way, COVID, we mentioned this yesterday, the environment has
become a very important topic.
A very important topic, and not only on like the level of countries, but also individually.
Yeah, globally.
Yes, it's like you know, if you're like you see like people as an individual, they go like, oh, you know what? Don't use plastic. There you go. This is bottle.
And Dubai in this thing is very proactive. They're setting standards. They've banned plastic bags.
Yes.
So you go to Carrefour, Spinneys, you go to any shopping mall, take your bag with you.
Yes.
I always have like 4 or 5 bags in my car. So 100%. Even if you forget, we buy one. That's like the good idea is that don't use so much plastic, because usually plastic bags, they end up in landfills. They're not recyclable. Problem for the environment. Talking about rapid mobility, we should talk about their competitors as well. I found two. One is Phoenix. We did a story on it, that it's pivoting from e-mobility services, micro-mobility services, towards e-commerce. Now they're using those to deliver stuff as well. They experimented with that in Abu Dhabi, Reem Island. I was reading the story, so it was some new name for Phoenix something. So they tried to experiment in Abu Dhabi, in the Reem Island area. It was successful, but they didn't, I don't know why they didn't continue it or expand it. They're in Turkey, they're in Egypt, they're doing good in those areas. But in UAE, I don't think you've seen a Phoenix scooter, right? So the company is in doldrums, what to do, what not to do, but they were one of the e-mobility or micro-mobility startups that we saw coming out of UAE, specifically Abu Dhabi. And another competitor is a Dubai-based TerraTech. It was founded in 2021, right after COVID, nearly slowed down. It didn't die down, it slowed down. So Terra focuses on electric motorbikes and an innovative swap and drive subscription model. So the swap and drive is very simple. You take a bike somewhere and then you swap the bike with someone else who wants to take it somewhere. So it's a new model they're trying, and it's more a B2B approach. It's not a business to consumer. They're not targeting me or anyone who wants to use a scooter. They're targeting businesses which have like 10 people coming to their office. So they can take their motorcycles, rent it out for 1 month, 2 months, yearly subscriptions. They have all of that. So these are the two big competitors that Rabbit Mobility will face competition from. It's a good thing that they're trying to do it. I think this e-mobility or micro-mobility market is big. There's you just need someone to crack the code of how it will work. Because recently we saw, talking about e-scooters, that e-scooters were banned from Dubai Metro. So people were parking outside the metro station, and then sometimes when they're reaching someplace, they have to walk like 10, 15 minutes. But now the Dubai government has, or RTA to be specific, they've allowed e-scooters again. I recently read a Khaleej Times report where people were very happy. Because like I live near a metro station, so it's very easy for me to go to the metro station. And usually when I was working in Business Bay, the Business Bay office was very near. So it was a 2 minute walk for me. So for me, it was easier. But for some people coming out of the Business Bay metro station or any metro station and then walking like 3-4 kilometers in the heat is difficult.
100%.
So this being allowed back again, see, RTA takes a decision, they see the feedback and they revert it quickly. It's again very proactive.
I mean, RTA is amazing, you know what I mean? But as you said, because it's not convenient for people who are using public transportation to actually, you know, like either take a cab.
Oh yeah,
waste
cabs are very expensive.
Money and or ride or walk. and be like under the heat, you know, and be
usually in summer it goes up to 50 degrees Celsius, so it's nearly impossible to walk outside.
100%. I agree with you.
But still, so, people, in the way you always see people walking, there's a very good walk culture.
That is true.
They'll have their fans, umbrellas.
Yes.
They'll have all the fancy things on their head and everywhere.
Just to avoid the sunlight. Yeah. But I think honestly, like the e-scooters market as a whole, and that, and using that as a transportation method, is a very convenient method that has been, that you see people, you know, like if you live very close to the office, it's cheaper to come via a scooter than actually, you know, like,
and it's basic charging. You just charge it overnight and then you can ride like 100 to 120 depending on the model that you buy.
Yes.
So it gives you a lot of mileage. Mm-hmm. Has normal speed. It doesn't go above 30 kilometers, so it's safe for pedestrians as well. I remember there was this ban in some area in Dubai where e-scooters were banned. I don't know the development on it, if they're allowed again in those areas. I guess it was JLT or JVC. But they were banned because they were causing a lot of problem for the people who were walking on the sidewalks.
I mean,
the only thing is, be careful when you're driving it.
Mm-hmm.
Wear your helmet, wear your vest and everything, and also take care of the people that are walking
100%,
there.
You know, just like make sure not to drive it on highways, because I remember around like 2 years ago, scooters were like the hype and everyone wanted a scooter and everything, and it was really cool, really nice, really fun. However, my dad was driving around the highway and he literally saw a guy with a scooter, and he could have, like, he puts his life in danger. And it's not only his life in danger, it's his life and as well
everyone's
the life of the driver in danger.
Because a bad accident can cause a whole wreck.
100%, 100%.
Okay, let's move on to our last story. Very less time left. We talked a lot about startups today. Chris Fade, one of the most famous person you'll see in the UAE. He's everywhere. He's at every event. He's the MC everywhere. So he's like the go-to person for MC. He has a brand which is called Fade Fit, which is a snacks brand, chips, drinks, everything related to snacking. He's built it. Now he's come up with a protein bar. So basically, the protein bar boasts that it is the first made in UAE protein bar, and it took 2 years to perfect the like taste and recipe and everything and packaging. So it's 221 grams of protein, 210 calories, 1 gram of sugar. That's what the pamphlet says. I haven't seen the protein bar till now, but I will see it. And it is designed to provide high protein with low sugar. So there's a lot of international brands you see in all the supermarkets that you go to. But Chris Fade is saying that this protein bar is made in UAE.
Now, let me tell you something. I'm a person who I work out at the time, and I eat healthy all of the time. Or I try to be healthy most of the time. However, of course, you know, I do crave sometimes something sweet. And I kid you not, Fade Fit is my go-to snack.
Oh, nice.
It's
true that it is one of the fastest growing snacking brand in the MENA region and in the UAE especially.
It really is. Because, like, you know, like, when a healthy person or someone who's like on their health journey, you know, they're human, of course, you sometimes crave sugar, you crave something sweet, you crave all of these things. If there's like a choice of having the same
some healthy
taste,
chocolate or same something.
The same taste, but with better health benefits, it's...
We also have
something
the products
go
in
to.
Our pantry.
We do. I mean, you all the time
at Augustus Media, if you ever visit, you'll have Chris Fade's chips and all that stuff
yes,
there as
you
well.
You will see me all the time, like taking like one Fade Fit and I'll be like, what's
so basically, the brand story is very interesting. Chris Fade founded it in 2018. The brand emerged out of his personal journey towards healthier living. So the brand started as a solution to the lack of affordable, nutritious snacks for kids and families. So it's kids friendly as well. So he initially offered protein snacks, energy drinks. He's expanded into different kids, multivitamins, smoothies, dairy products, yogurt tubes, organic milk. The funny and the interesting thing is Chris Fade launched the brand alongside his daughters. So who hold even creative roles within the business.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. The family-oriented approach reflects the brand's mission that if he's making stuff and he's giving it to his kids, it'll obviously be something good. And he launched it at a challenging time during the pandemic, 2018, as soon as he launched after like 1.5, 2 years. pandemic came. But the brand is everywhere in the UAE. You go to any big store, Carrefour, Lulu, Starbucks even keeps Fitbit products and on their store, so it's Spinneys as well. So it's growing. It's in Saudi. It's trying to go to Kuwait and beyond the whole MENA region. So it's a good momentum for his brand, and it's a good story coming out of the UAE.
It really is. And you know what? He is a very smart man because like he recognized what the market is lacking, which is healthy snacks that taste really good. Because, like, mind you, I have tried a lot of protein bars. A lot.
I don't like the taste.
Exactly. That is the point. You just said it. You know, it's like I get a protein bar. And I'm like, that looks like yummy. And then you try it and it tastes horrible.
And then try this also. Oh my God. We'll try it. So maybe Chris Wade, if he liked the post, he shared our post.
Look.
So maybe he can send us some samples. So test it on our show.
I don't know. But I have tried the Fitbit snacks. And I'm all the time, like, you know, on the go. If I have, like, work or if I have something to do after work, I will immediately like have a Fitbit snack just like to like maybe revive me up in a way, and it never fails.
So yeah, one of the biggest, fastest growing snack brand in the UAE. Mm-hmm. Good story coming out of the UAE. First protein bars made in the UAE. So that's all from the show today. We discussed a lot of stuff, mainly about startups. Saudi Venture Capital have invested $15 million in the Sucker Fund. Sucker Fund as a whole is a $90 million fund. This is the second Sucker Fund. There was an initial Sucker Fund, one which already has been distributed to startups. So this is the second one. They've contributed $15 million. Saudi startups should be happy. Go present your ideas to Sucker Fund and get the funding and grow your startups. Apart from that, we talked about Rabbit Mobility, Egypt's startup for micro-mobility. They have competitors in the region. There's Phoenix, there's TerraTech. But let's see what new thing they're bringing to the market. And they obviously will expand out of Egypt into the MENA region. So soon, maybe you'll see them in the UAE or Saudi as well. That's it from us today. If you missed any part of the show, just go to all our socials, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. You can pre-watch the show if you're into audio, don't have the time to look at video. You can always stream our show. Listen to us on Apple Podcast, Angami, Podio distribution platform puts our audio or a lot of places. So you can listen to us. At Texies also. Thanks to Podio, our show is also available in taxis. So if you're traveling like for 20, 30 minutes and you don't have anything interesting, just look at the TV, find media, and then you can find the Smashy Business Show there. So that's it. Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. This is the Smashy Business Show, part of the Smashy production. And it's part of the larger Augustus Media Podcast Network. Thank you very much. Take care. Goodbye.